here I am now trying, it's 1988, we'll fast forward, and I'm trying to get a job as a New York City public school teacher. And I go down to, you know, try to get the job, and I'm told that on Staten Island there are no teaching jobs and you'll get sent off to Brooklyn. I said, well, I can't do that because my kids are young and I want to be close and this and that. So the superintendent says to me, well, if you'll substitute teach, it might take you 2 years and we'll look for a position. I said, okay, fine. I go home and my mother-in-law says to me, well, I'm going to start a novena for you that you get a teaching job. Now, remember, I don't believe in none of this stuff right now, and I'm not going to church.
There's probably a few people out there having a clue what a novena is.
Yeah, well, a novena is like they start, she was going to do the Monday, I think it was every Monday after the 8:30 Mass. They had a novena to the...
It comes a lot, where it has nine in it, so you do nine days or nine weeks or 9 months.
Yeah. She did this nine-week novena every week for 9 weeks to the Blessed Mother. And she told me, I'm going to do this, that you get a job. And I just kind of dismissed it. Like, okay, whatever floats your boat, Mom. Thanks for the prayers, but believe me, it's not going to move the Board of Ed. Well, 2 days before Christmas, I got called to interview at a school that I had never substitute taught in, and they offered me a job. And I come home, and my mother-in-law says to me, well, now you have to go to church, and you have to light candles for Thanksgiving. So it was right near Christmas, so it was very easy for me to go to church, right? So I remember I went Easter and Christmas, so I went on Christmas and I lit my candles, and then I went the following weekend because it was getting close to the day I was going to start my new job, and I lit some more candles. And so then I kind of made a bargain with God. I says, well, all right, you got me the job, so I'll start coming to Mass. And that's what I did. And I was in a nice, safe place. I was coming to Mass, but I was sitting in the pew. When it came time for communion, I would not get up. Why? I won't go to confession. Why won't I go to confession? Well, I have my list of disagreements with the church still in
bed. So by this time, this is something that developed that wasn't really there in the younger days, but in those intervening years, you started developing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A list. It began with Humana Vitae.
Because remember, the culture at the time, and again, you know, birds of a feather flock together. I was with a lot of other married couples who, there was always one of the spouses who was on my camp and one who was on my husband's camp that was going to church. So I always had my own little cheerleading group that said, oh, yeah, we don't believe in the infallibility of the Pope, and what about the birth control, and what about, we just went down our list, you know. So I had my well-developed, defined list. So I would not go to communion. I would just come to Mass because I didn't want God to mess up my teaching job now, so I did that. And that went on for a couple of weeks. And then one particular Saturday, because our parish had Saturday night Mass, and after Saturday Mass, they would have confessions. And I was at the back of the church, and I was with my daughters, and one of my twins, Tara, was always coming home telling me about this new young priest we just got at St. Charles Parish. This new young priest. I'm going, yeah, what? His name is Father Frank. So this particular night, we're back by the exit of the church, and she's calling the Father Frank, come here, I want you to meet my mom. And she goes, Mama, come here. And she's tugging me like kids do. Come here. Here's Father Frank. And she's jumping up and down so excited. And she goes, Father Frank, here's my mom. You know the one I told you who needs to go to confession? Well, Marcus, my face turned red as could be. And we were only a few feet away from the confessional that had his name on it. And I looked over and I saw that and I was like, and I was like panic stricken. I could feel like, oh my goodness, now what's going to happen? And my daughter's jumping up and down like kids do, excited. See, Father, she's here. She can go to confession. And Father Frank was very cool. He calmed her down. And he must have saw my embarrassment. And he said to me, no, it's okay. Your mom doesn't have to go to confession now. And I was like, oh, thank God. You know, relief. I got out of it. But then he turned to me and he gave me his name and phone number on a piece of paper. And he said, but why don't you do this, Janet? I'm so glad to meet you. Why don't you just give me a call one time at the rectory and come and talk? I went, talk? He said, yeah, we don't have to go to confession. We could just talk. Now, that was a very strange concept to me, talk to a priest, you know? Well, my vision, you know, growing up was you met the priest in the confessional, saw him at Mass, and that was the end of the story. I mean, it was not this talking stuff. Well, I took that phone number and I shoved it down in my pocketbook, and there it laid for a couple more weeks. Because remember, I was a pretty stubborn girl. And one day I was cleaning out my bag and I saw that number and I said, I think I'm going to call this priest, see what he has to say. I'm going to go down my laundry list with him and see, you know, let's see. He wants to talk, I'll go talk. So I called and I made an appointment. I went on a Friday evening, you know, after I got the kids settled in to bed. He said, come around, I think it was 8 o'clock, and I went to the rectory. And he just sat there very calm, and he said, so tell me, you know, why you've, you know, had problems with confession. You know, what? And I said, well, you really want to know? And he said, yeah, tell me, what's your list? You said you have a list, what's your list? So I boldly said, all right, let's start number one. I don't believe in this amount of vitae thing, this birth control thing. Who's the church to tell a woman what to do with her body? God forgive me what I did. I mean, one by one, you know, the infallibility of the Pope, and just down my list. And Father didn't blink. He had a real poker face on. And he just nodded very, you know, patiently. And when I finished my list, I said, I know the right answers to the questions, but I don't believe them in my heart. I don't feel them. I said, so that's why I stopped going to confession. I'm not going to just go in and rattle off a bunch of stuff because I know there's the right answers, you know. If I'm going to come back to the church, I got to come back knowing, understanding, and feeling it in my heart of hearts. And Father said, fine, if you're willing to read and study and come and meet like this, we can work through these issues. And I was like, okay. And it was almost like a little bit of an excitement came inside of me, like, oh, I finally got someone who's listening to me, you know? And he started with the heavy hitter first. He handed me a copy of Humana Vitae, and he said, I want you to begin reading the encyclical and write on, you know, any questions, you know, and I'll see you next Friday. And this went on, and I went back the following Friday, and he threw another caveat on. He said, well, as long as you're coming to talk to me once a week, why don't you come, you know, to my Bible class, which is right before our appointment. And I said, Bible class? What's that? He said, well, Janet, you know, reading the Bible, and you could learn, you know. He said, you know, the Gospels and the readings you hear at Mass are part of the Bible. And I looked at it, like, with this, like, innocent face, like, really? I never understood that. You know, it's crazy, but we're raised to go to Mass, and we hear the first reading, the second reading, and we don't think about where it comes from, unless you grow up in a family where they have a Bible at home. I mean, many families do, you know, Marcus, read the Bible. I didn't have that upbringing, you know, where we read the Bible. And I suddenly had a whole new world open to me that, this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. This is what, you know, this is where it's coming from. You know, like all the stuff that the Pope and the priests are trying to tell us are getting their foundation from here. You know, this is part of it. And so we began a journey, and it took me a long time. I'm not, you know, an easy sell. I had a lot of issues, and it took about 3 months of going to the weekly Bible class followed by the spiritual direction. And About three months later, Father said, well, I think we've covered your list. You're all ready. How do you feel? And I said, I feel sorry for all the things I did in the past. And I feel bad about how, you know, some of the things I could think about that I said about the church and the Holy Father. And boy, I was feeling horrible, you know. I was ready for confession by now. So Father said, okay, come Saturday night again, you know, that last Mass when they do the confessions. He said, but, you know, get to the end of the line because, you know, he goes, even though we've talked about it, we still have to go through it all in confession now. So I said, all right. And we did it. And I'll tell you, Marcus, I felt like it was my first confession. You know, the way, like, I did it. You know, it meant so much because I finally understood. And when I said I was sorry for something, I understood why I was sorry and how I went wrong. And it just was a whole new world. And so I was so excited at the end of the confession. I said to Father Pavone, I said, well, I guess tomorrow I get to go to communion. I'm all excited. And Father said, no, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can go now. And I said, well, Father, Mass is over. You know, I took so much time in here. Mass is over because it was the next Mass was starting, but I went way past that. And he said, no, you can go to communion now. He said, go up by the tabernacle and kneel. And he said, and I'll meet you up there in a moment. And he went, and he you know, opened the tabernacle, I knelt down, and he gave me communion. And it was like I was kneeling there with Jesus, and it was so special. I didn't even know where Father Pavone was. I lost track of all that. And I was just kneeling and praying, and it must have been like the way communion was when I was a little girl and had forgotten, you know, my first communion. But to me, I look at that as like that's my first communion, because I was really saying yes. to Jesus. I was really saying yes to my faith. It was like rediscovering, you know, Jesus and beginning a relationship with him. You know, it was by beginning to get all my questions answered and then reading the Bible and understanding the scriptures, and I began to have what I would consider a deeper relationship with Jesus. And I will never, ever forget that night, because for me, it was so, so special. And it was really, you know, God has a real sense of humor, because then, as we all know,